This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America. A Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
In our last broadcast, we learned about Eve. Today, we study a woman named Sarah. We read of her in Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Sarah lived around 2,000 years after Eve, so we have skipped over a considerable chunk of Old Testament history. The names of the wives of the generations of believers during this time are not mentioned. Sarah first appears in Genesis 11 and 12 together with her husband Abraham when Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees and eventually to the land of Canaan. The Word of God in Hebrews 11 points out something that is oftentimes overlooked when it comes to the wives of faithful men of God. They were characterized by the same faith as were their husbands. They stood by their side with the same hope, with the same valor, with the same faith as their husbands. Sarah, whose name was originally Sarai, was of the line of Shem, a son of Noah. In fact, she, as Abraham, was born to Terah, their father. Evidently, Terah had more than one wife, and though sharing the same father, Sarah had a different mother than Abraham. This made her Abraham's half-sister. Now, this was not an uncommon thing during the age in which they lived. Sarah, however, was 10 years younger than Abraham. It is obvious from the account in Genesis that she loved her husband dearly and stood with him wherever he went and in whatever he did. She willingly moved with him from Ur to Canaan, hundreds of miles away. Sarah had cast in her lot with Abraham. She was a woman of faith, as her husband was. The Genesis account makes that abundantly clear. The Word of God before us today also points out that Sarah acted in faith together with Abraham as far as receiving strength to conceive and bear a son. We read in verse 11 of Hebrews 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength, and then so on. The idea is that Sarah also, that is, together with her husband, received strength. Literally, she received strength to receive the seed her husband imparted to her. The faith of Sarah, therefore, stands in close connection with the faith of Abraham. But it was, indeed, her faith. The verses we consider in Hebrews point out the truth that both Sarah and Abraham received from God a promise. God promised them that he would give them as many children as the stars of the sky for multitude, and the sand by the seashore innumerable. Now, we must remember that God's promise to Abraham was wrapped up in the covenant that God established with Abraham and Sarah. It is clear from our text that Sarah and Abraham received this promise of God's covenant together. God's covenant is that relationship of fellowship by which God binds unto himself in love a people elected in Jesus Christ. It is a relationship into which the Most High God graciously enters with his people, a close bond in which God pours out all his blessings and love. This covenant God established with Abraham, I will be your God and you and your children will be my people, God said. Imagine that. Out of all the people in the world, God spoke the words of his covenant to Abraham and Sarah. At this point in history, God was narrowing down the scope of his church and covenant to include only Abraham and his children, and then not all his children either. Because God was the God of Abraham and Sarah, and they his friends, God gave to them several promises. God does this with his people throughout history. He gives the people of his covenant certain promises. But the two God gave Abraham were vital to the continuation of God's covenant. One was that he would give to their children the land of Canaan. And already this promise of God to them depended on one thing, that Sarah would bear children, or at least one child. But the other promise to Abraham and Sarah was that their children and their generations would be so many that a person would not be able to count them all. They would be as many as the stars in the sky and the sand by the seashore, innumerable. Now, both these promises were given them when they had no children. In fact, the Bible establishes immediately when first introducing us to Sarai in Genesis 11, verse 30, but Sarai was barren. She had no children. Already before leaving Ur of the Chaldees to journey to Canaan, it was known that Sarah was barren. And yet repeatedly God gave to her and Abraham the promise that her children would be innumerable and that they would possess the land of Canaan. This is the main storyline of Abraham and Sarah's life in Canaan. In Genesis 12, God commands Abraham and Sarah to leave Ur because he would make of them a great nation. In Genesis 13, after Lot split from Abraham and moved elsewhere in Canaan, God appeared to Abraham and spoke to him the promises we just related. In Genesis 15, God ratifies his covenant with Abraham and informs Abraham that his children would possess the land of Canaan. In Genesis 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, God made this same promise. Abraham and his barren wife Sarah had, since she was 60 years old, repeatedly heard these promises from God. Evidently, this was not yet considered too old for a woman to bear children at that time, although it was pushing the limits. But Sarah, for example, was 60 when Abraham went to Egypt to escape the famine in Canaan. Abraham had her lie to Pharaoh because she was an extremely beautiful woman, yet at 60. Abraham did not want Pharaoh to kill him in order to take Sarah for himself. And Pharaoh was immediately attracted to her, too. So 60 years old then is probably like 30 or 40 now. But Sarah was barren. During the most fruitful years of her life, she could not conceive in her womb. She could not get pregnant. And now Sarah was 90 years old. Likewise, Abraham was 99, almost 100 years old. We learn in our text that Sarah was past age. This means she was past those years in which a woman can bear a child. She had gone through her change of life. Her womb was no longer producing the ovum necessary to conceive a child. Neither did Sarah have the strength anymore to carry and give birth to a baby. She was old. On the other hand, we learn in verse 12 of our text that Abraham was, from the same point of view, as good as dead. Abraham's body was no longer producing the seed that was capable of giving life to an ovum. What the Bible describes for us, therefore, is the utter impossibility for Sarah to conceive anymore. It might be possible that a woman, after being barren for many years, suddenly might become pregnant, but those years were long gone for Sarah. Now God comes to this old couple and says in Genesis 17, verse 16, "And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee." That was a promise. A promise is a pledge, a guarantee that what was said will surely come to pass. A person who makes a promise is one who vows and even in certain instances swears that he will keep what he has promised. God had promised to Abraham and in him to her also that he would indeed fulfill the promise that the two of them would have as many children as the stars in the sky. According to Hebrews 8, God even swore an oath by his name that he would keep the promise, along with the promise that these children of Abraham and Sarah would inherit the land of Canaan. The passage we consider here in Hebrews 11 now considers Sarah's response to this promise. And her response was that of Abraham too. But our attention is called to the faith of Sarah, this believing wife of Abraham. who had as much at stake in this promise as did her husband. You ought never think that God-fearing wives have nothing to do with what goes on in the life of their husbands. Abraham's life was turned upside down when he had to travel to a place that God would show him. This means Sarah's life was turned upside down with him. But Sarah, too, was a woman of faith. She did not forsake her husband. She did not say to him at this point, "You're a fool if you think that God is going to give us a baby at our age." Instead, we learn that, and this is what Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews says, she judged God faithful who had promised. Such reveals the faith of Sarah. She judged God faithful. Her reaction was the same as that of Abraham's, of which we read in Romans 4, verses 19 through 21. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Sarah was fully persuaded that God would fulfill his promise. She did not stagger or doubt God's faithfulness to fulfill it. It's true. Sarah gave Hagar, her handmaid, to Abraham for a wife to bring forth a child on her behalf. Hagar gave birth to a son named Ishmael, but he did not fear God. Sarah had to bear the promised child. It would not be done any other way. Abraham and Sarah together had to bear the promised children of God's covenant. But though Sarah thought there might be another way, she never stumbled at the promise itself. Sarah judged God faithful who had promised. She always had. She and Abraham at this point may have doubted the way God would fulfill his promise. They had to learn that salvation would come to God's people by way of a miracle, but they did not doubt God's faithfulness to his covenant and its promises. With the conception of Isaac, Abraham and Sarah both learned that what is impossible with man is always possible with God. This is exactly what Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, had to learn. It is exactly what Mary learned with the conception of Jesus Christ. God would fulfill his covenant with Abraham and his children, through a child that was born to him and to Sarah, and Sarah only. The Messiah had to be born of Isaac. The coming of that Messiah at this point was a human impossibility. But God himself will fulfill his covenant with his people. God will be our God, and we his people, on the basis of Christ's work on the cross. God's covenant is his bond of fellowship with his elect people in Christ. Christ had to be born of Abraham and his wife Sarah. Sarah was indeed included in this covenant with Abraham and his children. She believed that. She believed God would fulfill his promise to send a Savior who would save from sin. She did not doubt that Abraham would be the father of many nations, and all the peoples of the earth would be blessed in him and in her. In this she revealed her faith. The whole point of Hebrews 11 is to show the faith of Old Testament saints. God's word teaches us, through faith also Sarah received strength. Faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 1 of Hebrews 11. When we hope for something, it has not taken place as yet. We are aware that it is coming, but we do not see it yet. From a spiritual point of view, Sarah hoped for the fulfillment of God's promise. That rested in her having a son. She hoped for a child born to her husband. And this she also, with Abraham, looked for and longed for the coming of the Messiah and salvation in him. This is evident from the verses preceding our text here in Hebrews 11. While the substance of that hope was Sarah's faith. Sarah's faith lay at the root of her hope. Her faith was the only evidence that reassured her that what she did not see as yet would indeed come to pass, and she believed it would. The promise to Sarah was reality as far as she was concerned. This is why she judged God faithful. All of this is true, of course, because of the character of faith. Faith, you see, is a certain knowledge by which we hold for truth everything God tells us. Sarah had this knowledge. She knew God. Now, let's be clear. This knowledge was not mere head knowledge. It was not merely academic knowledge about God. Many, even in the church, think that knowing all the objective doctrines of the church and defending them is the same as the knowledge of faith. And neither is that to be belittled. Faith surely is objective knowledge in the truths of God's Word. But the more we know of God and of Jesus Christ, the stronger is our faith. But faith is not mere intellectual knowledge by which we give some assent to what is true of God and Christ. The knowledge of faith is that which is rooted in the very spiritual core or center of a man or woman. It's the knowledge of the heart. It is an intimate knowledge by which we come to love God and fear Him. It is a knowledge by which we look to Him for all things and believe that He is capable of doing all things. When applied to the covenant and its promises, faith is that which clings to those promises of God and to His great love and fellowship as the mainstay of life. It is to long for the fulfillment of them. And it is the knowledge that God as God is able and as Father is willing to perform what He has promised. Such knowledge produces in us one more such blessing. Confidence in God. A believer clings to God in Jesus Christ, through whom God fulfills all things, with a great assurance of heart that God, out of His great love, will do what He says. For example, we believe that God will bring about our final salvation when Jesus comes again on the clouds of heaven. God will usher in the kingdom of heaven and we will dwell with Him there. We believe that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is a promise God has given us. We know of it from God's Word. Well, with confidence, we trust that God will indeed work out all the affairs of this world to bring about that coming of Christ in heaven. Faith is such confidence, unwavering, patient, and sure. This is the faith that Sarah had. Through that faith, she was able to conceive and bear a son. Why? Because she judged. That is to say, she considered God faithful, who had promised. Was God faithful? Oh, yes, He was. God fulfilled the impossible. She and Abraham conceived a son in their old age. And yet, did they really see what God truly had promised? Did they see children as the stars in the sky and the sand by the seashore? God gave them one son. One son. And then we read in Hebrews 11, verse 13, that Sarah died in faith, not having received the promises, but only having seen them afar off. Sarah and Abraham did not see the final fulfillment of the promise. But with the eyes of faith, they could see that fulfillment afar off. God had promised a Messiah that would be born out of the line of Isaac, their son. From a human point of view, if Isaac had not been born, Christ would not have come. But God was faithful. Sarah believed that. Though she did not see the coming of the Messiah, she believed He would come. And God confirmed that by giving her a son in her old age. God is always faithful to His promises to His people. He always fulfills what He tells us. If that promise of God is this, I will not leave you, then He will not leave us. If the promise is, I will send my son again on the clouds of heaven, He will accomplish His promise. There is no doubt about that in our minds, just as there was no doubt of it in Sarah's mind. She and Abraham would be the parents of all believers. That has become a reality. She, too, is our spiritual mother. She believed, and we believe. That makes us spiritual descendants of Sarah. Sarah was a woman who was beautiful on the outside, but especially was she beautiful on the inside. She was a woman of faith, and as such, she has become for us an example to follow, and she is joined together with a cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 11. God grant us to live in the same faith as our mother Sarah. Let us pray together. Our Lord and our God, we are thankful unto Thee for Thy word to us today. Thankful that Thou hast given unto us a lively faith, the faith of our spiritual mother, Sarah, so that we too might cling to the promises of Thy word. Indeed, we see that Thy children are innumerable throughout the ages, and we will see that in heaven, especially when we arrive there and see all of Thy church together. Thou hast given us the promise of the land of Canaan, and Thou wilt fulfill that promise by giving unto us a place in that heavenly Canaan. We look forward to that day, and we cling to Thy promises. Go with us now in this day, and may this word guide us in this week to come too, that we might live in faith and in hope. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed Churches, feel free to visit our website at reformedwitnesshour.org or email us at mail@reformedwitnesshour.org.